It's community time.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
This is our community episode for, I guess this month is September. September's winding down.
2016.
This is, it's crazy how fast this year is going. I just want to say that out loud.
It's disturbing how fast every year just keeps going.
It's wild. But we are in the midst of election season. You know, we had the first debate last night. But before we dive into that, I just remembered that my boy Misha Stanton, who is the creator of Ars Paradoxica, which is like a super popular podcast that's blowing up on iTunes right now. I've done a little work with him. He's a sound engineer, and he's just a dope guy. And he had a little input for us about doing some intro, doing some like administrative stuff at the top of the episode instead of at the end, because people are paying more attention at that. So basically the only real thing is that we want to say is that please keep sending us your thoughts. You know, these community episodes are really exciting for us, but they're more exciting the more stuff we have to talk to from you all. Also, you know, share the podcast as much as you can. And then this is just an open call that I'm going to put out to the world. You know, right now this is just Akash and myself, right? We've been doing this, but we also have Keith Marcel, who's our guy who creates all the graphics down in Tampa. He's a dope gentleman who's been a part of the team. But we want to open this up, man. This isn't just about us. We've said that from the jump. And so we welcome people that want to help out and, like, build this even more. Reach out to us, AmericanDaisiesPodcast@gmail.com. What'd you think? What'd you think of doing a little administrative stuff on top?
It was good. I was trying to find moments to interject funny stuff to keep it live, but I couldn't really find any.
Anyway, well, let's put that to the side and dive in. We had the debates last night.
Arjun, I don't know what. I have an idea of what Arjun is going to say, but he just contacted me yesterday. He was like, we have to talk about the debates tomorrow. Tomorrow's an election episode. And I was like, all right, well, I have a feeling I know where this is going, but I don't know exactly what he's going to say.
First question for you, because I don't even know if you watched it. Did you watch it?
Of course. Dog, you know you normally got to pay $60 to watch WrestleMania. We had the luxury of watching it for free last night.
Well, I would love to hear your thoughts first and foremost.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought Hillary won. I'm going to be honest. I don't trust most politicians. My mom gets really nervous when I say this, like I'm getting put on some list. But I don't trust most politicians. But these two in particular, any person who looks at either of them and thinks this guy cares about me, I just think that's a ridiculous thought to have.
About both? You're saying
about
that?
Not either of them. If you want to vote for Hillary because you are that scared of Trump, I get that. I do. But I just don't look at either one of these people and say, you know, this person cares about me. If there's one thing they've proven throughout their lives, it's that they care about people, like the general person. That's my main thought.
Okay. I will say to counter that from Clinton's defense, just as I'm going to throw this out as a thought, she has spent her entire career as a public servant. And I know that you don't believe in politicians, but I do think that there is a public servant aspect to what they do. I mean, there's countless stories of her like working for the community, right? So I do think that that to me means something more. That means something different than Trump, who spent his entire life cheating the system to make it about him, right?
I mean, I thought it was. Let me say this, and Trump, I think, should have hammered this home. He wasn't good. Like, I don't think he's going to be a good president or whatever necessarily, but, like, just in terms of argument, like, I'm just watching two people argue, he should have really hammered home when she tried to make it a thing, like, you circumvented the tax laws, blah, blah, blah. He should have really stayed on that. You created the tax laws. Your system, I'm just a guy who takes advantage of the system, as people are going to do.
Right. You know what? My pivot, and this is when he said that, I was waiting for her to pivot to this. Okay, if your entire life has been about you, but being the president is about serving the country, how do you make that transition? What is proven to what? How are you going to prove to the people that you are not going to be about yourself?
Well, the first thing I would say is that, and this is not, this is something I feel. This is not me even talking for Trump necessarily, but like, in general, politicians didn't just make these laws with these, and they just happened to forget about these loopholes. My opinion, just my opinion, I don't think all these politicians make these laws and then there happen to be a bunch of loopholes that rich people find. I think they make these laws with these loopholes so they and their friends can get around everything.
Oh,
I think that's
that.
How laws have been made, probably in every government, and it's human nature. I don't necessarily fault them, but that's what it is. So if I really cared about people, which I don't know that Trump does, but if I really cared about people, I would say, all right, I know how to get, you really want to keep, like, stop wealthy people from keeping all their money? I know how to do that. I've done this my entire life. Close that loophole, close that loophole, close that loophole. Will it ever happen? I don't think so. But that would have been my response to that. That's the first thing I do. You want to take money out of rich people's pockets and help poor people, that's what you do. And then I would try to see if the tax money is actually going to something useful, which in my just lifetime, I haven't seen, I haven't felt like my tax money's got used all that wisely.
So what I wanted to talk about this was actually to take a step back and take myself out of the equation personally. I mean, I'll tell you this, though. Last night was on set. I'm in Vancouver. Everyone between takes was running to like a laptop or to their phones. I mean, I had that. I had the Twitter live stream on my phone, like in a corner. So as soon as he yelled cut, I was out, and right. I was like watching this debate, trying to get as much info. And then when I came home, and then we finished in time for me to watch the last half. I'm gonna tell you something, man. I was terrified before the debate happened. I was like, this is an important moment because I think that there are a lot of undecided voters in this situation at this moment. And here's what I think from the debate. I think that if you liked Hillary, you thought she won. If you liked Trump, you thought he won. And I'm not really sure anybody that was undecided got a lot of reason to vote either way.
I think Hillary did great. And this is, I'm a guy who I'm very contrarian by nature. I'm just getting more comfortable saying this out loud. So I think people understand I don't mean everything I say. But I think in general, anybody who believes anything really strongly, like to the point they don't even listen to logic, I get really upset. So mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by all these people who hate Trump, won't listen to a single thing, love Hillary, won't listen to a single thing negative, whatever. So I'm kind of in an area where like, I don't know, I almost find myself, I don't know what to say. But the point is, not really caring for either of them, I thought Hillary did great. I thought she did great.
Well, tell
as
me why.
As well as you can do debating a guy who wants to bring you into the mud.
Well, that's the thing is, and I mean he was deplorable in the standpoint from my, you know, and this is me being judgmental. But he was, I mean, you were it was just so rude. I mean, simply like, it was rude. Stop interrupting. Let someone speak. Let someone.
Yeah,
speak.
She also did. She knew what she was doing. I mean, it was a smart move. And again, this is how you win a debate. But she came out with little shots that she knew would fire him up. So, like, it's like right, if I argue with somebody wanting to piss them off, which I do a lot, and then when they get pissed off, I can't really be like, I mean, this guy's awful as a person. Look how he wouldn't let me finish. I know what
well, no,
I did.
But hold
and
on
he
a
looks
second.
Bad, but I know but, what I did.
Yeah, but you still – you don't think that people are going to goad the president? I mean, you're the president. You have to have a thicker skin than that.
Oh, of
I'm
course.
Sorry.
Let me say this one thing about Trump. Because I just am surrounded by so much Trump hate, and I get it. But also, I wish people would pull back. I said this to my girl, because she hates Trump. But, right. Like, why don't we pull back and say, all right, this is just a guy. What actually scares me more than Trump being president is that he has moved almost half of the American population. So there is something these people are feeling that he is speaking to. And I'm not saying we should shame them or whatever, but let's try to figure out, because that's a much bigger problem to me than one guy who, if you talk to a lot of people, say the president can't even really move much. There's an entire large segment of the population that feels however they feel, that can be moved by a guy like this saying these things. That scares me more than this one guy. And then why do they feel this way? That's what I want to get to.
I mean, I think that's so West Wing was one of my favorite shows of all time. And there was something that they said, and Americans vote with their gut. And that's something that I think Trump can appeal to. frankly. If you look at him, he appeals to a bravado. He appeals to an alpha male situation. He appeals to a he appeals to a bygone era when America was the king of the hill, when America was the only country, like, was the undisputed king of the block. And I think that he was like, people respond to that because he speaks with this air of confidence that's, that he can make anything sound true. It can sound ludicrous, right? But if you aren't, if you aren't aware of, like, the okay, so there was stuff that you were saying about trade, right? If I wasn't reading, fact checking stuff about it, I don't know anything about trade. But the confidence with which he walks in there and says it is it's kind of like, whoa, is that right? Like, he has that level of confidence and that, like, projection of appeal. And I wonder if that's what people respond to, you know? And I wonder if, you know, that's where I'm hoping that the American population is looking at this from a standpoint of not just voting with their maybe I should say gut, not right. They vote with their, like, heart, their emotion, because their gut is smarter than that. But hopefully they use your mind. I hope they use their mind and, like, listen to what – because Hillary, you know, I don't think Hillary I thought it was really great that she stayed calm throughout that whole thing.
And I would rather personally is just I don't like the smile that she had. I would rather she just sat there and just kind of kept the face instead of forcing the smile. It, like, I don't – just me, that's always bothered me literally since I was a kid.
Right.
People do that. But yeah, she handled herself well. She was composed. And real quick, I'm sure everybody's going to hate me because I'm, like, kind of in the middle, and you're not allowed to do that, really.
No, but I hold space for that, Akash.
You do. No, I know that. I'm talking about monsters on Twitter. But the one thing you said where it was like, we don't understand trade, I think most of us feel that way. And here's something I've thought of that is another thing I don't really like about politicians, is I watched The Big Short. And if you talk to me about the banking crisis, even now I don't know much, but before that movie, I knew nothing. And that movie did a good job. It was kind of weird, the choices they made, but they did it to break down how these guys, or like what these guys did and how it was horrible.
Right.
And so these guys all broke laws. And then Wells Fargo just did it again. They're continuing to break laws, but these laws are so complex that they're breaking, none of us really know what's going on. And they're so, like, they're doing it in such a way that's over our heads that we just let it happen. But the guys who, like, who let that happen, who put that system in place, are the politicians. Who did the bailout are the politicians. Hillary is still giving speeches at Goldman Sachs. If you watch The Big Short, these guys are criminals. I mean, my mom also hates when I say that word, so I should apologize.
No,
but what they did was truly,
I don't disagree.
In the purest sense of the word, criminal. So I just, these guys looking out for our best interests, no. You might do some public service, something for the little guy, whatever. End of the day, every politician is just trying to get reelected, and money moves elections, and that's what it is. So this is trying to offer some, because I hear a lot of from you. And if I was talking, if you were saying things that were pro-Trump, I would say things that are pro-Hillary or anti-Trump. But just as a measure, like, to kind of keep us
sides. You understand that this – I don't think I've said that many things.
You're not – I'm not – listen, you're not like –
No, I'm just – I'm curious as this because this is literally in response to me saying that she was composed, and now you're going off –
No, you said earlier, like, she's done a lot of things for the public service, whatever.
I mean, I said that earlier. Like,
no, I didn't – at the time, no. This is what I'm saying. It's kind of off topic. I think I said that. Maybe I just thought it. It's kind of off topic. It's going back to something we spoke to earlier, but this idea that, like, one of them is, like, great on either side, that just – And if what triggered you saying it is, like, you know, I don't understand trade.
I'll be completely honest. How I feel about this is pretty simple. I think that Hillary has her flaws, for sure. I think that I was definitely leaning Bernie. And I think that it would have been fascinating to watch Bernie in this debate with Trump. I really do. I mean, but I don't – I really don't see how this is a choice for people. You know,
I don't either.
If you strip away the third party thing, because that's coming into a world that I'm not really interested in bringing in at this moment. If the construct is simply that you have to choose between these two people, I don't really understand how it's a choice.
Yeah. And let me say this.
And that's not me lifting up Hillary. That's
no,
just
no, no.
saying that's
I,
to
I,
me.
I see what you're saying. And let me say this, and this is not arguing with you, but this is another point, is when you said, like, I do agree, I don't really think there's a choice. I loved telling especially my girl who hates Trump that I think Trump is amazing. But I agree with you. I don't. If you have to choose, it's pretty easy. But then to the thing you said about, like, I don't want to bring in the third party thing. It's crazy to me that no one is bringing in this third. Like, it seems like the majority of the people I talk to don't really care for either one of these guys. But no one is being like, you know, there's other parties.
Well, because there's a pragmatism that comes into play, man. There's a because here's what I was going to respond to your whole thing about, like, politicians are all, like, corrupt, which is essentially what you're saying, right? The truth of the matter is that's irrelevant, man. They still have impact on our life. So just, like, that's the baseline. Let's accept that for the reality that it is and then deal with the construct, right? So if both are politicians. And now, look, Donald Trump is now officially a politician. Whether he was before, he's not a maverick. He's not anti-establishment. He's not bucking the system. He's none of those things. Let's just remove that. If he becomes the president, he is a politician. He's just like everyone that you're talking about.
No, he is bucking the system. Like, he just is. You might not like the way he's bucking it. It might be a truly bad way that he's bucking it. But he is.
But I'm saying he's no different than anyone that you're talking about. He's self-serving and he's a criminal.
Yeah, agree with both of those. But the system that's in place, he also said, y'all could take that system and do something else with it. I'm not using it.
But it's doing the same thing that you're talking about. My point is that you're talking about that all politicians are corrupt. And that that's
somehow. I agree with that. No, I just the wording of he's not bucking the system.
But let me get my point in.
He's going to be a part of the machine, but.
Let me get my point in, bruh. Please.
My bad.
So if you're creating a thing where all politicians are corrupt, right? And that's a point that you're building to. To me, it's like, well, why even bring that into the equation? If both sides of the equation are that, then it's irrelevant. It's like, let's deal with the choices that we have, right? Now, the third party, the reason the third party is not something that I think about, truthfully, is because they're not going to do anything. They get 5% of the election, maybe 6% of the election. This is not going to shift, right? I mean, if we're going to build a whole movement around making it a multi-party system in this country, cool. I'm not interested in that fight. That's just me personally, right? And I don't. I'm trying to understand the side of the people because I have some friends on Facebook that are very, very pro Jill Stein. Like, I don't know a lot of people that are pro Gary Johnson because he's done some stupid things over the last few weeks to really hurt his chances. But I know some people that are very, very pro Jill Stein, and they are, you know, they're voting for her. That's what they're doing. And I'm trying to understand that side more and more as I'm paying attention to it. But for me, I'm just not interested because the reality is it's either going to be Trump or it's going to be Clinton. It's not going to be Jill Stein. You know what I mean? It's not going to be Gary Johnson. That's just not going to happen in this reality, not in this election cycle. So when I'm dealing with this situation as it is, I'm looking at just Hillary and Trump because that's the only two options.
I'm not arguing with you about who to vote for or whatever, but I'm saying it's weird to me that the collective consciousness has not seemed to explore this option as, like, even a talking point. Does that make sense?
People are talking about it.
Okay, because I don't hear it much. I hear a lot of anti-this person, anti-that person on both sides. I went to Texas, and it was a lot of anti-Hillary, whatever.
But I think that they're talking about it in media.
I just don't hear. I hear a little bit more than I ever have.
But I mean, I follow 538. Do you know about that site?
Yeah. I know about them because they're on ESPN.com.
Right. So 538 is talking about the third party all the time and, like, how polls are doing for third party and whether it's different than the last election cycles. I have some friends on Facebook. It's talking about in the media. I mean, like, when I'm reading news coverage, they're talking about, is this a thing where how is this going to affect, you know? I mean, it's usually in the lens of how it's going to affect either party.
It's like a mild best step up in terms of, like, a talking point than it has been. 538, I see way more articles about Hillary Donald than I do about third party. Like, way more. I think I've seen 2 third party articles. But the general point of no one seems to be like, you know, we could. But then on the other hand, the voting system, to me, if you want to look at it pragmatically, we literally just, I'm probably jumping ahead, but we emailed Dr. Sony. You emailed Dr. Sony, like, how can we get involved? I want to stop. Like, I want to do my part to make sure the wrong person isn't elected, essentially. If I'm not, you know, I hope I'm not misquoting or whatever, but Dr. Sony was like,
how do I stop Trump? That's what I said.
Yeah. So Dr. Sony was like, if you're a brown person in a swing state, that's young, it's really important to vote. Those few words in a swing state, That really bothers me about this entire system. And it's sure. Pragmatically speaking, I'm not in a swing state. It doesn't make sense for me to vote. If I'm in Texas, it doesn't make sense for me to vote. But then we're all very idealistic about this. No, 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 your voice will be heard, blah, blah, blah. But then third-party system I hear, well, that's just not pragmatic. But to me, voting isn't pragmatic if you're not in a swing state. It was literally in a sentence from someone we both truly admire. It makes a difference if you're in a swing state, etc. Essentially. I mean, he didn't, that wasn't all he said at all, but, like, that was part of it.
Okay. I think we're way out. I think this is a fascinating... You and I are, I think, a good demonstration of what happens when we bring up the election. I mean, the conversation just goes in so many different ways.
Well, I think
so
we're
hard.
Keeping it... Well, one thing I do appreciate is that I think we're keeping it much more civil than most people keep it.
For sure.
And
for
I
sure.
think
but
the
I think
lack of civility is also a problem. I'm sorry
about,
if I'm ranting.
No, it's just that what's happening is that we're both talking over each other a lot. I mean, let's acknowledge that. You know, I mean, it's just like an interesting thing that... I'm not placing this to, like, call either of us out. I'm just saying it's interesting to, like, whoa... There's such a passion around this. There's so much, like, it's hard not to be emotional about this situation, right? Because we started talking about wanting to talk about the debates, and now we're talking about the whole system in general, right? It's big. It's like a big thing that we're trying to deal with in this election, these elections thing. I'll say two things to you before we should move into the community, because we've already been talking too long. We had some other stuff we wanted to talk about today. The voting in look, I mean, yes, the system is definitely broken. I've said that from the I agree with that. I mean, the Electoral College as a system is really flawed. I've heard about something actually just today from my friend who is a Jill Stein supporter. Shouts out Jabari Brisbert. I've been listening. There's apparently a lot of countries have ranking your choice voting, rank choice voting. That's what it's called. And it's you rank your choice. Like, it's like basically like. If you like Jill Stein, but then your second choice is Hillary, and then your third choice is Trump, like each person gets a point value, and then it doesn't mean that, because the big argument against third party voting is that it siphons votes away from either candidate, right? So the like Ralph Nader screwed Gore is the narrative that is created in the world.
Right.
That if the people that voted for Nader had voted for Gore, Bush would have never won. Now, what Jabari was saying is like, this is a whole new system, ranked choice voting, that would revolutionize and allow there to be people to advocate for, okay, I really love Jill Stein, but if I can't get Jill Stein because most of the people don't want it, I'm going to support Hillary. Which I actually, when I just heard about this today, 100% support this. Hundred support. It's that would be a huge, because the world is more complex now. The world isn't just the Whigs and the Federalists anymore.
And maybe like, I'm just being a stand-up comedian, but you know what's hilarious to me is this is how MVP voting works in the NBA. And how does the NBA have a better voting system than the mother effing president of the United States? I can't believe I said mother effing. I hope my mom appreciates it. I just edited myself in the corniest way possible. But that's insane to me that the NBA got a better voting system than we do for president.
That's insane. And I think that the voting thing, here's where, because we're about to talk about voting and how important it is, and we're going to bring up Dr. Sony in a second when we do this. But voting also, like, okay, if I'm voting in Florida, there's still a ton of, or I'm not voting in Florida anymore because I have a New York, LA license. Oh, man, I vote in California. Damn. but if you vote in California, there's still so many local and civil and, like, city government and that are still going to be up for election on November 4th. It's not just the president. And so I still think that your vote is massively important, you know. It's still hugely important.
Yeah, voting at local levels probably makes a much bigger difference from what little I know. But none of us really care.
I think all of it makes a difference. I think we need to stop pretending like stuff doesn't make a difference, right? I mean, I think let's move. Voting's important.
Okay. Word.
Anyway, let's move into the community. And real quick, I'm going to jump in and do the... You mind if I do the Twitter for this part of it, and then I'll give you Twitter for the rest of it?
Bruh.
So we asked for people's thoughts on debates, and I just want to share a few. You know, we had a few thoughts, the debates that I just wanted to throw out to the world and kind of share as our community responded. You know, Clara wrote, does incoherent screaming count as a thought? I mean, he was screaming a lot, which to me is not leadership, but some people respond to that as leadership, you know? Then we had S. Nayak saying Clinton tried to be optimistic. Trump pushed the fear button and pushed it often. So that's, I think that's a pretty good description of the two things. This is interesting. Now, La Femme Luna wrote, her first thought was how disappointing the moderating was.
And it's hard to moderate Trump. Everybody kept getting on the moderator, and I was like, how do you get up there and grab the mic? Like, what do you do?
I mean, it is interesting. I mean, it was really hard during – it was – because I thought Lester was in a bad position. And I think that in this situation, I've been reading about this, debates that have less moderators than the candidates, it's hard for the moderators to really do much of anything. So I think we should move into a situation where you have – if it's two candidates up on that stage, you should have three moderators. I mean, that sounds – like, sounds pretty simple and sounds pretty like an easy fix for this situation.
So
but you're right.
40 years.
But you're right. I mean, it was. Did you see during the part where, asking about, I mean, multiple times, I mean, during the birther thing, Trump tried to make it about how he, which was hilarious, how he took credit for Obama having to produce his birth certificate. And Lester Holt was like, but then you kept saying it for the next 3 years, but Trump just ignored him, right? So right. I think that Lester did a good job on that point. I thought it was wild to see during the Iraq war thing where Trump like went on a 5-minute, like moment by moment chronological, like call Sean Hannity. His call to call Sean Hannity was ludicrous to me. And Lester was like, well, the record shows otherwise, but what are you going to do? Like how much, you can't get into a shouting match with the guy though, you know? So I don't really know how you moderate Trump.
Yeah, listen, again, I don't see how – that is the most losing situation. It's hard. I've watched a few debates. They talk over the moderator when it's two seasoned politicians right. playing the game, trying to look as composed as possible. It's an argument. We right. were talking over each other in a friendly argument with no stakes.
Right. No stakes.
And then you got a guy who literally made his name by being brash and not a politician and unpolished. Of course he can't moderate this guy. No one is going to be able to moderate this guy. It's going to be someone else next debate. They're going to really try to put their foot down. Trump is not going to care.
All right, let's move on from the election season because we're going to have – well, we have two more months or 40 days or 40-something days to talk about this. So we're going to get another one in before the end of this season. So let's move on to – I want to talk about Kiran Gandhi, who is someone that came on my radar thanks to Twitter. We had a lovely lady saying that we should look out for this and then said, hey, have you seen her TED talk? And so both you and I watched her TED talk, and it's about atomic living. She starts off by telling her story and I'm just going to, summarize it really quickly. She was born, raised in Manhattan, grew up in a family that was very, philanthropically and community service active. That's not a word, but go with me, people. And she started drumming when she was a kid, always really interested in, she was interested in politics, and she goes on. Her story, so she goes on and does all the stuff. Her big thing was talking about how she was had a hard time merging her interest in math, her interest in politics, and her interest in women's studies until she went to a political rally in D.C. and then later that night went to a club where the band was talking about the political rally and like the stuff that was happening. And she was like, wow, maybe I can merge this in music. Maybe music is a space for that. And it's something that you and I have talked about is like the responsibility of an artist and whether art is political or not. And she firmly believes that it is. Now, first thing I want to say, really, really smart woman.
Yeah.
Really, really smart woman who was saying some interesting things. And then I want to talk about her she has this philosophy of living called atomic living, which I thought was really cool. And I think is another framework of something that I see a lot of people talking about these days. And you call it trusting your gut. I call it living from a space of gratitude and living in the moment kind of thing. It was like but she calls it atomic living. And we'll tweet out the link of this. We'll retweet it so you guys can check it out. But it's a really interesting philosophy. What did you think about it, Akash, so I can stop talking?
I thought it was interesting. I basically, it was, to me, just trust your gut and things will work out. do what you feel in that moment is what you want to do, what your gut says to do. She said, like, what you want to do in terms of, like, I guess, what your heart wants to do or, like, what seems more fun. I think trust your gut in that. It's essentially the same thing, but you always know what the right thing to do is. Just go do that, and then everything else will work out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when she was talking about it, she was like, you know, if an opportunity comes up and your friend is like, it's like about taking advantage of the what it sounded like. And, you know, I would like to have her on the show. So if hopefully we can get her on the show and then we can ask her in an interview context. But it sounded like listen to what the universe is putting in front of you. And live with this beautiful openness for what the world is around you, with this immense amount of gratitude. She was saying, you know, if someone cancels on you, then you can be like, awesome. You know what? This is my opportunity to take care of the laundry that I had to take care of. You know what? This is a day I actually wanted to sleep in early, you know, or if you were planning to go sleep in, if you had this plan ahead of you, but then someone comes around and is like, yo, let's go to this club so that you can meet these people that I think what you would love, then you take advantage of it. And I think that it has to do, what was really, you know, what's kind of radical to me about it is we live in a world, and especially South Asians, plan. Let's make a plan. I mean, I don't know if I can say that's a very particular to my family, but can I say that that's a fairly South Asian thing?
You know, it's a fairly common thing for people who make not great money, but good money. Does that make sense? People who work as like doctors tend to have very type A personalities, probably people in like an iBanking type of income level. Like, I'm not talking about the Bill Gateses of the world, but the 100,000-aires, that's probably very common.
So maybe it's not, but regardless, this whole idea of planning, right? What I think is radical about that is that we are taught to, like, where's your plan? Where's your plan for your future? Where's your plan for this day? Like, how are you going to make this work? What are your goals? How do you reach your destination? And she's advocating for a more, let's live in this moment.
Yeah.
And she's not talking atomic, like, boom, explosion. Well, there's kind of that explosive element to it. But it's more of, like, the small interactions, like the atom-sized interactions that will drive you forward and staying focused on those. And I love that. I got to be honest. I really love that. That TED Talk was about a year and a half ago, I think, or it was sometime in the last year. I did a little bit more reading about her. There's a Fader article where she's talking about her new album, which is dropping October 28th. It's called Voices. And I also, I watched a bit of her song, Her. I watched the video. The song's hot. I'm into this song. It's like she's in, you know, definitely electronic music sort of world, but it's sparse and it's really fascinating. I don't know. I was really into it. I was really feeling it. But she's just a smart woman who's talking about. I think she's talking about important things that are going to be that are relevant to this moment. She's talking about how we need to express our emotions more. That why are we seeing this as a bad thing? It just there's like such a positivity. There's an openness to what she talks to that I really respond to personally. Yeah,
I think there's definitely. Listen, I don't know if you know a single person in your life, in the world, that you've ever met who plans less than me. So clearly this made sense to me. I just think in general, it's like, yeah, I don't think every person can live like me. I think the whole world falls to shambles. This podcast wouldn't happen if you weren't here. We just have crises. I'm like, we'll figure it out. And then we tend to figure it out because you start figuring things out. So I don't think everyone can live like this. I'm going to be honest with you. But there's something to not stressing out and planning and putting. I see people stress so much when things don't go according to plan. It's insane. What happens if things don't? All that really needs to happen is you get to the same end point. Right. That's kind of the way I feel about what I heard. That's what I took from it. Maybe I'm misinterpreting, but like, oh my God, this thing, we're off schedule 10 minutes. As long as we get it done, we get it done. Stop stressing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, listen, this is a smart woman. Kieran, if you're listening, if somehow this comes to you, we'd love to have you on the podcast. We'll reach out on Twitter and let you know already. But it's really this interview that she has on Fader. I think she talks about some really important things. I mean, she's talking about how women of color aren't really taught to take ownership over their work. She's talking about how futurist female doesn't mean one gender is superior to the other. It means that we will one day live in a world where we deeply value female energy. I mean, this is definitely stuff I think we are that the world is talking about more. And I do think it's important to keep talking about. So anyways, I'd love to have you on the show so that you can talk about it and not me, because, you know, that feels better.
Well, let's do Twitter, Doug.
Let's do Twitter.
This episode, every time we say it's going to be a short episode, every time I look at the time we get to Twitter, and I'm like, what the hell happened?
Well, that's okay. We didn't have as much on Twitter this week, so it's all good.
All right, word. Yeah, the people failed.
It's all good.
Okay.
I was going to say that it's the summer doldrums, man. People are just lazy.
Yeah. People are lazy. Maybe a little less atomic living from some of you would be nice. All right, Ruji Q asks if we've seen the trailer for the new Lion movie with Dev Patel. We know that movie well, okay? Dev Patel got it over Arjun, and so I'm not going to see it. I'll say that right now.
No, I want to say this. Hold up a second. Yes, this is true. I did audition for Lion. Let me tell you something. This story is so powerful. It is such an amazing story. I mean, as much as my ego and my envy is present because I wanted this movie so badly, but the truth of the matter was I wasn't ready. You know, I auditioned for this in 2014. And I know that doesn't sound like a long time ago, but I wasn't ready yet to carry a movie like this. And I now feel like, you know, hopefully I'm going to get the opportunity to do so. I feel confident that I can do that now. But this story, I wept when I read the script. And twice. I read the script, and then a week later I read the script again, and I wept again. I mean, it's such a powerful story. Watch the trailer. It looks stunning. Dev, actually, I gotta hand it. He looks like, from the trailer, I mean, I haven't seen anything more than that, looks like he's doing a solid performance. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for this movie as much as, you know, my ego and envy are present around it.
All right, word. Philando Jones, in terms of our last community episode, responded, interesting points about American perceptions about education in India. Our system is so broken, we shouldn't look down on anyone.
I just don't think judgment is relevant anymore. I mean, I'm genuinely in a very strong practice, and I'm not successful a lot of the time. I have to be very honest with everyone.
Like when you judge that lady's tweet.
Yeah. Wait, which lady's tweet?
I just don't think judgment is relevant anymore. Is it judgment, ain't it?
No.
Yeah, well, I was joking.
She's,
so,
I'm in an emotional space right now, bro. I really am practicing not having judgment, and when I have practiced this, it's been a remarkable shift in my life. And we can talk about this at another time because, you know, it's a longer conversation. But I agree, it's like, it's not helpful. It just doesn't serve anyone to come from a place of judgment, right? If we're looking down on someone, we're not seeing what we can learn from them. Right. And that's not just, everything has its flaws, but that doesn't mean that we can't learn from it.
Okay. Aditi Juna tweeted us a link to an article. It said it's from NBC Asian America. A new album brings artists and activists together to get Asian Americans to the polls. So yes. An album was made. A lot of South Asian artists are on it, trying to get South Asians to be more active in voting in America.
In that article, it said something that I wasn't aware of. There was an article, an NBC News article surrounding that album, and it was talking about how our community, and not just South Asians, but Asians in this country, have the lowest voter turnout of any demographic. And that's really disheartening. And that's where I'm going to bring up Dr. Soni, because, you know, this morning I was emailing after the debates and just in this kind of, you know, post-debate election sort of like furor that I was feeling. I asked Dr. Soni because he organized, you know, South Asians for Obama in 2008 and 2012. So I asked him, I was like, hey, is there any basic stuff going on that I can get involved with? And just asking him specifically around that. And he goes, that's when he brings up what Akash said earlier. You know, the millennials can swing this election if they vote in the swing states. And then I said, I just responded. I was like, true. And then he wrote back. He said, oh, shit, I should have pulled this up earlier. God damn it. Oh, here it is. I was in the UK for Brexit and the same shit. Young people handed over their future by not voting in large numbers. I mean, it's so important for us to vote, you know, and I think Brexit was a terrifying, hopeful wake up call for the world that, you know, something that most people just assumed was going to, you know, was not going to pass, the idea of leaving the EU, passed because people just got apathetic and got and felt complacent, like this isn't going to move. So, Yeah, I I'm a strong advocate for voting and having your voice. And if you need an argument for it here, and you're in one of the non-swing states, so to say, the Californias, the Floridas. Actually, Florida is a massive swing state. The New Yorks, the Californias, the Texases of this country. Know this: if you don't vote, shut up. You don't get to talk about it then. Then just shut up.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into that.
That's if you fine. If you choose not to vote, great. But then you have to acknowledge that you gave up your voice.
But
so I don't want
to
hear.
Listen, I don't really care to talk about politics in general. But can't you just say, why would I vote if my vote doesn't count? If you're not in a swing state, am I only going to go to the poll? Isn't that kind of like a bleak thing? I'm going to go to these polls so that way, when I don't like this president, I have the right to complain.
I don't understand what you're telling.
That's what you're saying. If you don't vote, shut up. The only reason these people are voting then is so they can complain. If you're
I'm saying for those people
state.
That those people that agree with your logic that it doesn't make sense to vote, like there's no reason to vote.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to give them some argument as to why they should vote.
I know, but it's just the whole. And I know you agree, so I'm not arguing with you. But the whole system is just so idiotic to me.
Sure, but again, that's the system we have. So we to abstain from the system, to just abstain from the system without. Then trying to change the system doesn't do anything.
Isn't abstaining
you know I mean?
A form of trying to change it? If there was an actual movement that no one should vote until the system changes, the system would change immediately.
But that's doing something. The people that it's
I'm
trying
that.
To create a movement.
I would love to get 100 celebrities together to put out an ad that says, don't vote this election. Sit at home, but enjoy the
for
day.
For that reason. But you have, but see, that's the thing is, if you have then build that movement, and then I can respect that your choice of your choice to not vote is a choice.
I'm not disagreeing with you. That's what I would like to do. That's what I'm actually saying. Like,
oh, okay, do it.
Yeah, I mean, I have zero influence on anyone right now. But when I do, when I have 10 people who listen to me, that's the revolution will begin. All right, Shivam Bhatt. I know games aren't necessarily your thing. But he wrote an article that we wanted to, he thought we might find interesting about the game Magic: The Gathering. They unveiled a new set of I guess cards that is all about. It's based around like Indian visual style and things look Indian, but it's basically just decoration. There's nothing cultural about it. I don't really know how Magic works. I'm sure that's cause for outrage, but I don't know.
No, you know it was interesting. I think that I read the article. I skimmed it. I have to be completely honest. I don't know anything about Magic. You know, I saw those cards when I was a kid, but I didn't ever play that game. So, but it was reading that they seem to do it all the right way, right? They talk to all the right people. The designers consulted with people in like experts and like, you know, people of Indian descent to make sure that it was, you know, accurate and all this sort of stuff. And they got the aesthetic correct. But then underneath her powers and what she brought, there was nothing Indian about it. And so it was a form of – I don't know much. It was just – that's an interesting observation. And I can understand feeling a little bit like disappointed that, hey, man, this was an opportunity of bringing my full culture in. Because to me it's like if you're just going to take on different forms to make it about what you believe and not what they – and not like actually bring them in, I don't think that that's really – that feels a little bit like appropriation, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure. I feel like they're also kind of in a, like, they have to, I guess, just do more work, but it's really tough to not offend anyone, like.
Well, here's the thing, don't make her Indian. The character, why make her Indian? You know what I mean? If you're not going to fully go.
Wait, I don't think it's a character. I think the whole set of cards is.
Oh, well, what I read was there was one specific card that came around. No, when I read it, it was a specific card that came out that had a character on it. That character was very, like, was in Asari, had, like, the look and had all the features, but then didn't have any, like, the rest of the card's attributes, nothing about it was Indian. Yeah. And so the argument was, well, you kind of just half-assed it. You know what I mean? If you're going to make a card Indian, if you're going to make a character Indian, then, like, have there be an Indian power or something that goes along with that. You know what I mean? It's like it's like they do with my super-duper princess hero. Like, these women from different – these princesses from different countries have identifying attributes, not just aesthetically, but also, like, stuff from their country that's appropriate to their princess, you know, style, you know? I mean, that just feels like – if you're going to do something, do it all the way. Don't be fucking lazy about it. You know?
Quick shouts to Super Duper Princess Heroes.
Woo! Shouts to you guys. Amazing? I think it's super amazing.
Oh, I gave some books to my girlfriend's niece, who's 6. She loved them. So if you have a niece or nephew or son or daughter, give them the books.
Boom.
All right. Gosh,
yeah. I think that that's it. Oh, wait, were there more tweets?
There's more tweets. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
The Reddit ABC Desis linked us to an article, Don't Ask, Don't Tell in Desi Land. I've observed this somewhat a common way Desi families work. In most cases, the parents shut their eyes to things their kids are doing, parentheses, having sex, dating, living with non-Desis, being gay, drinking, and doing drugs. They know on a subconscious level these things are going on, but they would be livid if they were to, quote, find out. So basically to them, doing these things is bad, but not as bad as talking about it. This seems unhealthy, right? Is it just a Desi thing? A lot of the comments I'm reading say it's pretty universal. So,
yeah, I mean, this is something we've talked about a lot in the community, but it's this is a we retweeted the link. It's on our Twitter at American Desis. You can check out. It's really nice to hear those other perspectives on that conversation. So go there and check it out. But yeah, it's definitely something we've touched on a bunch, and I'm sure that we'll continue to touch on as this is a big part of our community.
Yeah, Pragati Prasad. I hope I pronounced that correctly. So that was a great haiku at the end of the last episode. Arjun Gupta BK, recognize your boy has skills. Thank you.
I recognize.
I'm an artist, and I'm tired of people telling me I'm not, trying to stifle my creativity.
Who tells you you're not an artist?
I don't know. People. The people who didn't snap at the end of my haiku, for example. All right.
I just drank water and almost spat it out. Keep going. Other tweets?
Lynn Terrell said, when we asked of, like, what would you guys like to talk about, she said dealing with stress and depression are always informative topics to discuss. I'm not trying to be rude, but I do feel like we've talked about that to a point where it's like, well, there's not much else to talk about.
No, I just don't think that we should talk about it anymore. I think that we should get on more people that have, you know, smarter things to say about it than you and I do.
Yeah. And then the last tweets are the ones you just read about the debate.
Word. Wow, I really don't know how to segue to an ending.
Well, so, first of all, no emails. Thanks, guys.
Well, there.
Good job, community.
Yeah, no, look, man, you know, we've had, you know, it's kind of the way it goes, ebbs and flows. And so, you know, we appreciate when we get them. This is me being good cop here. We appreciate when we get them, but we genuinely like to hear from you guys. So, you know, send us your thoughts. We want this to be a space for all of us and not just myself and Akash. Yeah. So listen, guys,
if you don't start talking, there's going to be 30 more minutes every episode extra of Arjun and I just arguing about no goddamn thing at all. Do something. Stop us from ourselves. You know how long this guy talked at the beginning of just housekeeping? It was 12 minutes of housekeeping.
It was 2 minutes.
I know, but it felt even longer.
I always go back to that iTunes review, man. My propensity to monologue. Ugh, it's the best. It's the best, man.
Ooh, there's a segue. While we talk about reviews, guys, 5 stars. I know we say we appreciate negative feedback and we take – I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of it. Just 5-star it. Bruh, .. 5 stars. I know writing review is like a lot of work. I get that. I hate typing words when I don't want to. Bruh, .. That's it. 5 stars.
We're, We're on Audio Boom. We have our Facebook posts out. We have our tweets out. Do us a favor when you see them. If you can help us by just sharing that to your community, retweeting, it just helps us grow our reach, which in turn helps us build the community, which is something that we are trying to do.
Which means less of us talking, and everyone should want this.
I don't disagree. I mean, help. I like that. Save us from ourselves, please.
Yeah.
We're coming back at you next week. We have a dope episode, which we don't know what it's going to be yet because we haven't decided, but we have some really fun content coming out for these next few weeks. So definitely tune in. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.